if operators try to go it their own way, try to grow their own, let's say, player base organically from within their own setup, does that put them at a disadvantage when compared to operators who try and go through affiliates?
The advantage of having affiliates is basically have an intermediary that is actually going to provide you valuable data.
Your first 15 years in this industry, how you've seen it grow, how you've seen it mature, let's say mature. Next 15 years, what do you see? Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Sigma podcast, where today we're going to be meeting Clémence Desjardins, the CEO of My Affiliates, who has, I think, around 15 years of experience in this industry. Good morning, Clémence.
Good morning, Sam.
And thank you so much also for accepting the invite.
Thank you for inviting me.
Clémence, 15 years experience in this industry, I think almost all of it in the affiliate sector. I have to confess, it's a sector which I am not too familiar with myself. And it's a sector which in certain markets, affiliates have caused me, when I used to work for an operator, caused me more problems than good. So maybe you get give us a bit of a background. How has the affiliate sector evolved in these 15 years? Have you seen a process of maturation? Has the industry grown up? Or has it been a race to the bottom?
It has been a race to the top, really and truly, 15 years ago. You know, I mean, when we started, and probably around the time when you started having problems, we were dealing with, you know, lone individuals that had no experience, no knowledge. Affiliate marketing was pretty new, you know, in the industry, just the same. And people were really and really learning on the go, okay? And it was really, really not easy. Now, these affiliates have become, you know, big companies, multinationals that, you know, have bought other affiliates, and they have become professional entities that are, I mean, really the, you know, the part of the full cycle of the iGaming industry. I mean, today, iGaming operators would not be able to survive without affiliates because they are for certain companies their main source of traffic, for others a bit less than their main source of traffic, but the iGaming industry today would not be able to survive without them. So it has improved. It has improved because, you know, I mean, people have learned. It has improved because the industry has grown and has put some standards. So because gaming operators had to get themselves into standards because of legislations and so on and so forth, then affiliates had to follow suit.
You've made two important statements, the last one on standards and the one before. The industry cannot survive without affiliates. So if operators try to go it their own way, try to grow their own, let's say, player base organically from within their own setup, does that put them at a disadvantage when compared to operators who try and go through affiliates? Does it come at a cost by using affiliates or no?
Well, everything comes with a cost. If you're going to try to grow your audience organically, so as a gaming mm-hmm. operator, you still can't really do it organically, right? You're still going to have to use methods to
Okay,
so you're going to have to invest in your SEO mm-hmm. or any, you know, or any other method that, you know, come at a cost. Okay. The advantage of having affiliates is basically have an intermediary that is actually going to provide you valuable data, because affiliates are not only people that, you know, put banners on their website and just sit there and mm-hmm. do nothing. But they are, because they are interested in making their own money because they're a company and they need to be profitable, they are going to work on optimization. They are going to generate, you know, data that the operator is going to have access to, where the operator is going also to learn the player journeys, the player value. So there is the affiliate is not someone that is just going to put something there and no return is going to be provided.
You've almost described affiliates as becoming partners in the business in this case. How does that happen? I mean, okay, so they're going to give us suggestions on how to optimize the website, how to optimize the player journey, maybe even the feed, as in what are the sort of games that the players want to see. Is this an evolution on how affiliates have grown and matured?
It is an evolution because again, you know, I mean, technology has helped the industry, okay? So when you look today, technology helps affiliates improving their campaigns, optimizing their campaigns. They have access to data and analytics, which is going to give them an open world. It mm-hmm. is also, you know, in regulated market, they'll be using systems or compliance systems where they're going to understand where they can advertise like this and not like this. So the market does not close to them. So mm-hmm. they can exploit that data. They can use artificial intelligence, you know. So there is so much that can mm-hmm. be done. And yes, they have become partners and they have become essential partners in sharing data with the operators for them to grow together.
A question on curiosity over here. Have you ever seen any affiliates who eventually have learned so much about the actual operation and running of a website that they decide to venture themselves and become operators themselves? Have you seen this happen, Clemence?
I've seen this happen.
There success stories?
There are success stories. I don't think, you know, I mean, I'm not going to share names or whatever, but we have seen a very, very early affiliates that have become very successful operators.
Okay.
Particularly on the Swedish markets. So, you know,
I actually know one Maltese in particular who was an affiliate and he grew a very successful business, which was eventually bought out. And kudos to him because he had done a really, really good job. Now, I think you know who I'm referring to. You've given me many, many points because we planned this podcast.
We're already completely off
from
track,
your
right?
From your initial intervention, I've already got another 4 or 5 questions. So you've spoken a lot about data, a lot. And data helps drive also the growth. It helps drive the development. It helps drive the innovation. Now, when you see, for example, the introduction of GDPR, the data protection regime, on a European Union level. Number one, has that hindered or has that helped the industry? Depending on your answer, I have a second question.
You know, I think you can see it both ways, right? I mean, hindering because it becomes more complicated for affiliates and operate, maybe. But then it has given more confidence to players, okay? Because
really take notice of these sort of things? Do they? Sometimes I have my doubts that they do.
I would believe they do to a certain extent, right? Because we've seen so many data leaks of not necessarily in the gaming industry, but wherever, you know. I mean, you could have been on the PlayStation gaming list and your data would have been, mm-hmm. you know, would have been leaked. So it's not particular to our industry. It's just even into a bank or whatever, you know, even your electricity provider could leak your data. So I think people are becoming more and more aware of even though they're playing online and they're gambling online, they still don't want their data to be leaked anywhere, mm-hmm. and they also want to know what people are storing about themselves. So yes, I think it has created some kind of confidence.
Okay, it to that extent it has created that, but we live, we work, we operate in the internet. Now the internet, be it good or bad, permits other gaming companies, not necessarily established in the European Union, but running out of some third world jurisdiction with no care in the world, with no standards in place, no responsible gaming, no anti-money laundering, and no data protection rules in place. And you have these operators which are targeting the same audience that legitimate operators are targeting. So an obvious question over here is, wouldn't the data protection rules also, to a certain level, hinder the competition, the unfortunate competition which exists between the unscrupulous people and those licensed operators, or even the affiliates? Because nowadays we talk about licensing of affiliates with the, yes, with the increase in standards. How does the industry combat that?
You know, I mean, I think it's the case for any regulation, okay? Any regulation can, or over-regulation, can push players toward gray markets, you know, or can push affiliates to promote, you know, their services in gray markets, which are not regulated, where players don't have protections, and so on and so forth. And this is why I think the affiliate marketing industry itself is, it is completely unregulated, okay? Apart from small, a few countries, okay? Regulation does not exist. People operating in our industry, like in the affiliate marketing software industry, we have absolutely no regulation to adhere, apart from the states where we need to apply for a vendor license, and a couple of countries, you know, in Europe, which are
European level.
Yeah. So it's always, you know, trying to find a balance between regulating and not over-regulating, so that we don't try to push this player within those gray zones where they have nowhere to turn if something goes wrong.
Okay, so it's all about finding a balance.
Yeah, always.
So when you see, we've seen different approaches towards affiliates. You've seen some jurisdictions which just let the affiliate business grow without any real strict regulation, without any regulation at all. You have some jurisdictions where actually they make the operators responsible for the behavior of the affiliates who are linked to them. And that brings with it a whole luggage of very awkward situations, because suddenly, especially if that regulator has it, and we're not mentioning any regulators here, so as not to cause any extra discussions, but we know that they are out there. So you have regulators who tend to shoot first and ask the questions later. So when you have that sort of regulator, the operator needs to safeguard himself and needs to take certain precautions. Affiliates are not, especially, this is back in 2016, 2017, affiliates were not used to operators telling them, you need to do it this way, or this way. And then you have a recent trend, couple of regulators are licensing affiliates. I am one of those who believes that each country has its own realities, so you regulate according to your own reality. What works in country A might not work in country B. What works in Europe might not necessarily work in the States, because we also have that reality nowadays.
Yeah.
But how do you get the balance? What's the sweet spot in order to ensure that everyone grows at the same time, and keeping in mind, well, not growing at the same time, but having the conditions to grow, keeping in mind that you have external forces always trying to infiltrate?
Well, I think this is always going to be a problem, right? I mean, if you look at the cost of licensing, so let's take an operator, you know, an operator, a very big operator is going to take the initiative of, let's say, going into the US, even though it's costly, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there is growth opportunity, but they have the funds and they can invest in that. A smaller operator will not even take the risk, okay? And I think this is, unfortunately, the same for affiliates. You know, the big affiliates are going to be able to invest into those jurisdictions or into tools that are going to help them to make sure that they are compliant with advertisement, with player protection, with responsible gambling, or whatever. And some smaller affiliates are going to be, again, pushed into going into the gray markets because they can't afford it, you know. And unfortunately, this is the law of the jungle, and it's the law of
I like that law of the jungle.
Yes, and it's the law of you know,
survival of the fittest.
Absolutely, of the biggest business.
Or of the biggest bottom line in this case.
Yeah.
Okay. But your personal opinion of the three methods, which one would you go for?
So, you know, my personal opinion is let's get a balanced approach. But again, a balanced approach is something that then become unfair on the smaller affiliates, okay? And the one that just start and needs to make, you know, I mean, try to develop and how they work. Then, you know, it's not necessarily the best approach because again, I mean, when we have a balanced approach where we give too much responsibility to the affiliate, that means that we're pushing affiliates that don't want or can't to go in the gray markets. But can we avoid this? I don't think we can avoid it really and truly, because it will always be the case that, you know, people feel more comfortable operating in the dark than in the light, you know? So then there are business and personal choices.
I understand. Okay. Okay. In your life, so I'd like to just briefly touch on SEO. How important or less important has SEO become today compared in the past?
Well, it was always important, but of course it has become more important. It has become more and more important because of the competition and the Google algorithm and what's not. Okay, so it has evolved as internet has evolved and as the market has grown and has you know. More providers have come in, more affiliates have come in. So it is becoming more important and more competitive every day.
Okay. And you mentioned the Google algorithm, and every now and again, you need a new story that Google changed something and all of a sudden the SEO has just gone the other way around. I am more on the legal and compliance side. So on the tech side, I try to learn and understand more. How can a change in the algorithm lead to such a drastic change in result? If you don't mind me asking.
I'm not an expert. And I think here we need an expert in SEO. Okay? Because
we'll eventually have one on the podcast as well. But I'm trying to understand.
I don't understand. Pardon?
It's a bit, to me, it sounds weird, but maybe to people who are doing this day in, day out, it's something normal and something they have to deal with.
It has become normality. It has become something that people have to deal with. Now, as why does it messes up things this way? I really have no idea. Okay. I don't have an answer to that.
Okay. So coming back to affiliates, and you mentioned even the use of AI. How has AI gotten into the field of affiliation?
Well, you know, I mean, AI tools can actually analyze player data, okay, identify the trends and also create personal marketing strategies. So I haven't seen a lot coming in, but of course, by doing this, if affiliates start using AI, they'll be able to engage to specific audience through various content. So using AI to analyze the data and then using AI to personalize the content and target players or potential players differently.
Okay. All right. So the field of AI in affiliation is still something which is growing. And through that, you can have the personalization of the journey.
Yes.
Right? So just to make sure that I'm understanding. Okay, so from your end, we've spoken about how some affiliates have become partners in aiding the growth of the actual operator that they are partnered with. Isn't there every now and again a concern, possibly from operators, that the methods that are being discussed. So let's say professionals, well, industry knowledge, which has grown between that affiliate and that operator, the operator might be concerned that that industry knowledge is being shared with other operators. So we also get into a bit of the discussion on intellectual property over here. From your experience again, how have you seen operators deal with, let's say, the sharing of information between their through their affiliates, especially when, unfortunately, in the regulatory compliance side, when operators should be coming together in order to present a united front with regulators, this rarely happens. But in the commercial sphere, do you see this, or is it something which doesn't exist?
There isn't really sharing of information between operators and affiliates, right? Because what
operators to the data, if you have access to data, if the affiliate is using certain data, they might know, listen, okay, so these products are what's working. Those products are not what's working. So maybe you share that information with someone else.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, on a global sphere, right? You, when you look at affiliate data, it is granular, but not that granular. Okay, so when an affiliate look at this data, he's going to see how much money is made on poker, casino, sports book, and maybe.
No, it's not usually broken down by the actual different type of, for example, slot that is being played.
Exactly. So it's very rare that they want to go down that path with affiliates. So operators will keep that through their own BI. They will not expose that information.
Okay, understood.
Which makes sense, you know.
Yes. But again, because I haven't really had visibility on, if I can say a particular story, one of the few times I was involved with an affiliate was linked to the Italian market when I worked for a company called GreenTube. And this particular person, in order to promote a particular game the Novomatic group of companies, Bukovra, decided to use Christ the Redeemer from Brazil, putting on the face of one of the characters of a particular game. And Christ the Redeemer was actually doing this movement with $100 bills. So, yes, and I had to deal with that situation because the Italian regulator was not happy at all about seeing something like that. Eventually, then the affiliate, well, the marketing sector in Italy, following the marketing ban, there was that sudden closure. Although nowadays there are still, let's call them loopholes, by using news websites in order to promote your brand. And you see these news websites being on the stadium advertising at the side of the pitch during football games of this area and this area B. But maybe you have a particular story, any affiliate who decided to ruin your day or week in my case.
Well, you know, we don't really deal with affiliates. I say I have many operators that sometimes ruin my day, but that's...
Any horror stories?
That's other stories for other days. No, okay. I don't think there are horror stories. I think, you know, I mean, the industry has grown, but we did go through stories where we had operators wanting to create particular deals for affiliates where we had to say, oh, this is not ethical. We're not going down that line because if anyone has our image, is going to be damaged as well. So there were times where I had to step up and say, listen, yes, the system can do it, but it is not ethical and we are not going to allow that to happen.
Okay.
So it is changing, but there are occasions where we have to stand up and say, no, that is not right. You know, even though we get our money from the operator, we get paid from the operator, but you know, we need to draw our own lines and our own limits because, you know, affiliate marketing is an industry I respect a lot, and I respect both operators and affiliates. And I think affiliates have given so much to this industry that there is a time where, you know, one needs to stand up and also take their side because, you know, you read forums and you see that the main problem between affiliates and operators is trust, okay? And you know, very often it's trust because you know it's data based, because it's based on exchange of data between the operators and affiliate tracking software, where sometimes the data is not loaded, where sometimes there are changes, and there isn't complete transparency. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for people like us, you know, like my affiliates and our competitions, to sometimes stand up and say, listen, if no one is going to put a standard, we need to put our own standard.
Okay.
And you know,
so I saw this a bit more. Do you manage to find collaboration with your competitors in this particular field in order to ensure that at least there is a form of common standard or an ethical standard, as you mentioned earlier?
Well, not really. And it's not because, I'm not trying to say, you know, other affiliate marketing software would not want to collaborate. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to do it of your own will. Sometimes you need to be pushed by someone, mm-hmm. you know, up there telling you, listen, yeah. now we're going to start watching what you're doing, and you need to send it, you know.
Unfortunately, when let's say standards regulation is driven top down, you end up with a result which actually makes no one happy at all.
Absolutely.
That is why I mentioned and stressed on the need that it should be operators who work between themselves and looking to set up common standards, or arguing in favor of, for example, a harmonized approach to at least technical standards,
yeah.
and then not having the reality that we're seeing in Europe of, well, what is it, 2021, 22 different licenses with 2021, 22 different technical standards which are required. I mean, it becomes, unless you are of a certain size, it becomes very, very hard to operate legally on the European front.
And absolutely.
The margin sometimes just don't make sense. Clemence, we only have 4 minutes left. Maybe crystal ball. Your first 15 years in this industry, how you've seen it grow, how you've seen it mature. Let's say mature. Next 15 years, what do you see?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, it changed so quickly. And I think, you know, I mean, as we were saying before, you know, introduction of artificial intelligence, we've seen live streaming and video content. But that's, you know, all of a sudden Twitch started cutting it off for operators. We mm-hmm. have influencers marketing that, you know, now in some countries, it is also changing. If you look at France and influence marketing, the government stepped up and said, you know, you have to stop, you know, making people thinking that this is, you're speaking of your own will and you're being paid for that.
Yep.
So it's very, very, very hard to predict what's going to happen. I mean, next 15 years are going to be very exciting, I think. You know, there will be step backs where people are going to really need to think of what they're doing. Because really and truly what we can see and what we know is that player protection, you know, is going to become at the top of everyone's agenda. So people need to be creative. They also need to be empathic and understand why it's happening. And you know, probably do things better. And doing things better is always, you know, a step then forward. So I'm looking forward to the next 15 years if I survive them.
Clem, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure hosting you. And hopefully we'll meet up again in the near future. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Trevor.
And before I forget, to all the viewers of Sigma World and our podcast, please don't forget to like and subscribe to our videos. Thank you once again. Take care.